Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Detectives. I do want to encourage you, if you've not already, to check out our other podcasts. And of course, my big focus right now is on the amazing world of radio. We're having such a great series looking at the radio career of Jack Webb. It's a 13-episode series. In addition to that, you can also check out other past series we've done on the amazing world of radio. For example, there's our Summers of Bogart and Angela Lansbury, as well as our past spring series of Les Miserables, as well as quite a few holiday episodes. We'll be releasing our 100th episode tomorrow, and there's a lot more great stuff to come. So check it out, Amazing World of Radio at amazing.greatdetectives.net. Also, there's our World War II podcast, The War, thewar.greatdetectives.net. And I also encourage you to check out the video version of this podcast at videotheater.greatdetectives.net. Well, now it's time for today's episode of It's a Crime, Mr. Collins. The original air date, September the 16th, 1957. And this one is The Green-Eyed Divorcee.
It's a crime, Mr. Collins.
It surely is. After all, if you were married to a private detective like Greg Collins, would you let him take a case involving a dangerously beautiful woman who wants a divorce? Yes, this is Gail Collins talking, and I'll be back in a minute to set the stage for our puzzling crime.
It's a crime, Mr. Collins. A good story, Gail?
Yes, Mort Hall, I think it is. Best if you can stand up to the thrills.
Well, I'll do my best. As long as there's plenty about that dangerously beautiful woman. Let's have the story, Gail.
Well, Mort, along San Francisco's amazing twisted angular streets, many a weird character comes marching into my husband, Greg Collins' office. Some of them march, that is. Others kind of slide in, as though they were hiding from something. The beefy gentleman who came to Greg's office this time was Warren Pierce. Pierce marched in all right, very cold, very sure of himself.
Well, Mr. Collins, you've been trading my wife?
Yes, Mr. Pierce.
You found grounds for divorce?
She's an exquisite woman, Mr. Pierce. Those green eyes. Murder.
Suppose we dispense with the irrelevancies. You took this case.
I took it reluctantly. Divorce cases are a bit messy to my taste. I've been half tempted to return your fee and skip the case.
And what have you decided?
My wife wants a new fur coat for next fall. She decided.
Tell me what you know, then.
Your wife has been seeing some man.
I could have told you that. Is that what you demand a big fee to tell me?
Know who the man is?
Well, who is he?
You've heard of the gambler, Julius Stroud.
You mean?
That's it.
You're not only lazy and insolent and reluctant to take the case. You're lying.
I have the details right here. Times, dates, addresses, nightclubs, theater tickets. Want to see the file?
Yes.
There it is. The romance has been going on for about 3 months.
I find it difficult to believe.
Perhaps. Now, last week, your wife...
My wife went to Los Angeles to see her mother last week.
Very touching. Want to know the fact? Take a look at this.
Where did you get this picture?
It was taken last Saturday at the Santa Anita racetrack.
It's Zita, all right.
And the man with her?
I've done you an injustice, Mr. Collins. It is Julius Stroud.
Satisfied now?
Perfectly.
Well, now, if you'll sign a complaint, I'll arrange for an attorney to have her served within a few hours.
When I married Zita, I vowed to love and to cherish her till death us do part.
You'll have a long wait, Mr. Pierce. Unless somebody hurries up her death.
Yes. Unless that happens, Mr. Collins. Good day, sir. You'll hear from me.
Good day, Mr. Pierce.
Warren Pierce went from Greg's office directly to his wife's luxurious bedroom.
Warren, darling, I didn't think you'd be home this early.
I felt I've been neglecting you, sweetheart. However, from now on, things are going to be different.
Are they?
You won't have to visit your mother in Los Angeles for lack of something better to do. Oh, incidentally, how is your mother? I've neglected to ask.
She's just fine, Warren.
That's nice. How did she like the races?
The races?
Santa Anita.
I wasn't there.
Funny. I ran into one of my friends today, and he was positive he saw you at the track.
Oh, well, one day Mother was busy, so I did go to Santa Anita.
You never mentioned it to me.
I didn't think you'd care.
Oh, but Zita, everything you do interests me. Incidentally, when did you hear from Julius Stroud?
Julius?
Uh-huh.
I haven't seen him in weeks.
You're lying, sweetheart.
Now listen, Warren.
If there's one thing I detest, it's a liar.
Oh!
Zita, of course, was lying, right in her pretty teeth. She underestimated Warren. After the little quiz program with her husband, she dashed off to see Julius Stroud. It was an out-of-the-way place, and Julius Stroud had purposely selected a dark corner.
What has happened, Zita?
Julius, it's awful. Warren knows about it.
Who told him?
I don't know. Julius, I'm going to get a divorce.
Don't be ridiculous.
But you said that...
I said a lot of things. But the fact remains, your husband is a very rich man. If you divorce him, what do you think you would wind up with?
We'll get by.
You don't know me too well, do you, baby? I don't just want to get by. There is no fun in that.
But what can we do?
Suppose Warren was to have an accident.
You're not serious.
Listen to me, honey. You don't have to starve the rest of your life. Not when you can have everything in the world all for your very own.
I don't want to hear any more about it.
You shouldn't divorce him. You'd be a sap. But he's very much in the way, isn't he? And if he dies under what looks like very legitimate circumstances, you collect, no?
You're crazy.
Am I? Think a minute. I'm telling you it's a snap. Nobody would suspect a thing. Listen, Warren keeps a lot of heavy cash in the house, doesn't he?
Yes.
Then what could be more natural than for a burglar to pay him a visit?
Julius, please.
Use this.
No.
All you have to do is pull the trigger once, and your troubles are over.
Stupid. We'll be caught. We'll hang for it. We won't enjoy one more happy minute together.
He won't even know what hit him.
I positively won't do it.
Okay, baby? That is how you feel?
Where are you going?
I'm leaving. Obviously, I don't mean anything to you.
Oh, that isn't true, Julius. I'd do anything in the world for you.
Then prove it.
Give me the gun.
Well, when a married woman goes home with a loaded revolver in her handbag, anything's likely to happen. We'll be back in a minute with more of our story. When Zita got home, she waited for her husband to arrive. And presently, the doorbell rang.
Hi, Zita.
Charles.
In person. Oh, haven't you got a kiss for your ever-loving brother?
Charles, what are you doing here?
I thought I'd run over from San Diego and pay you a visit.
Why didn't you let me know?
I wanted to surprise you.
But tonight of all nights.
What's wrong with tonight? You can put me up for the evening, can't you?
No, you'll have to go to an hotel.
In this 20-room mansion? I don't get it. Oh, you and Warren having trouble again?
Don't talk like an idiot.
Why are you so nervous?
Because you pop in here like this was a boarding house or a motel. How do you know I didn't make other plans for the night?
Okay, I'm sorry. Calm down. It isn't that important.
I'm upset, Charles. Have you got a cigarette?
No. Fresh out.
Well, there's a pack in my bag.
This one?
Oh, never mind. I'll get it.
It's all right. I've already got it. My, you gals certainly carry a message.
Give me that bag.
What were you going to do with this, Zeta?
I said, give me that bag.
Whose gun is this, Zeta?
None of your business.
I think it is. What were you going to do with this gun?
I told you, it's none of your business.
All right. But you can't stop me from guessing.
Hello?
Julius?
Yes?
Zeta.
What's up, honey?
We can't do it tonight.
Why not?
My brother Charles came to town. He knows everything.
He what?
I couldn't help it. I forgot myself for a moment. He found the gun, Julius.
So what? I have got another. Look, Zeta, you made up your mind it is tonight or never.
But with Charles in the house, it isn't safe.
Forget it. You go to sleep. When you wake up, it will be all over.
What are you going to do?
Never mind what I'm going to do. Forget it. Don't worry about it. What you don't know will never hurt you. Leave it to Julia.
All right, Gail, I've got an hour. Let's have that lunch.
As usual, Greg, lunch with your wife will have to be skipped. There's a man outside to see you. Saw him as I came in.
Well, who is it?
Says his name is Charles Rennie.
Yeah. Well, send him in and read a magazine in the anteroom, darling. We'll be long.
Step in, Mr. Rennie.
Thank you. What can I do for you, Mr. Rennie?
I'd like to know how to go about having a person legally committed.
Well, easy. You go to a lawyer, not a detective.
I want someone committed to an insane asylum.
You also need a psychiatrist to examine whoever this is.
My sister, she's the one.
Oh, I'm sorry. Look, the case doesn't concern a private detective. You're in the wrong office. And might be to recommend a good attorney?
I just don't know what I really want. I guess... You see, my sister, Zeta Pierce...
No detective is qualified to... Zeta Pierce?
Uh-huh.
Sit down again, Chum. Your brother-in-law came to see me this morning.
What did he want?
Skip it. That would be divulging a client's conversation.
Would you help me?
Probably not. The whole pitch you made doesn't sound legit to me. I don't like clients with phony angles.
I'm leveling, Mr. Collins. You've got to believe me.
All right, go ahead. Let's try to emphasize.
I missed lunch with Greg, of course. He went breezing out with Charles Rennie, and I dined alone. Greg was obviously getting deeper into a case he had little relish for. Maybe dangerous,
maybe. Look, Rennie, we've been driving for over an hour. Where are we going?
I'm taking you to my sister's house.
You told me that. Where does she live? Mexico City?
Now listen, Colin.
No, you try doing a little listening for a change. This ride hasn't been a total loss. I've been doing a little thinking.
Have you?
Yeah. Your sister is playing around with a man named Julius Stroud.
That's a lie.
You know better. So you must have come to my office for only one reason. You want to establish the fact that she's not responsible in case anything happens.
What are you talking about?
Let's assume, for the sake of argument, your sister commits a murder. I guess I hit the jackpot, huh? What are you stopping here for?
I want to hear every word of it. Go on, Collins. You were saying?
Merely that if your sister Zeta murdered someone... It'd be awfully helpful if you could prove you had consulted a responsible person before having her committed to an insane asylum.
That's quite a clever theory, Colin.
Oh, it's more than that, Rennie. It's your gimmick. It's in operation.
Suppose it is. What do you propose to do about it?
Give the victim ample notice.
Just a second. Stay in the car. Where are you going?
Put the gun away, Rennie. It won't stop me.
I said, where are you going?
I'm
going
to call your brother-in-law, Mr. Warren Pierce, out of common ordinary decency. Tell him somebody's planning to kill him.
Okay. So the gun won't work. Maybe something else will. Usually does. How about 1,000, Collins?
Are you kidding?
3,000, cash. We'll go to my apartment and get it now.
I'm not for sale, chum. You tried the wrong gambit again.
You're a tough customer. I'm afraid nothing will help me. Except maybe this... Pleasant dreams, Mr. Collins.
right, Greg. Take a swig of this.
No. That's enough.
Oh, go on. It won't hurt you.
Where am I, Gil?
On a cocktail in the police station.
How'd I get here?
Prowl car picked you up in the park around 2 this morning.
Oh, my head.
Your head's right. The doctor worked quite a while on that noggin of yours. What happened, Greg?
Rennie threw me a curve.
Charles Rennie?
Sure. Remember when he came to my office and we had to skip eating together?
Your client? Make a deal with you?
Sort of.
Better get a new lead on this case.
Hmm? Why?
He stayed at his sister's house last night. Burglar walked in and...
Yeah? What did the burglar do?
He shot Charles Rennie dead.
Well, you, Julius Stroud.
Who wants to know?
I do.
Who are you?
Private detective, Greg Connor.
I don't remember inviting you over.
I have an irritating habit of showing up without an invitation.
Never mind the gags, Collins.
Please, you'll have to be gentle with me. My head hurts.
All right, come in.
Thanks.
What's on your mind, Collins?
A man named Charles Rennie wrote to me to have his sister, Zita Pierce, committed to an insane asylum.
He what?
You heard me. He was afraid she'd commit murder.
He was just fooling.
If he was, pal, the joke's on him. He was just murdered.
Why do you come here?
It occurred to me the killer might have mistaken him for Zita's husband, Warren Pierce. They were both approximately the same size. And Rennie was killed at his brother-in-law's house.
What does Pierce say?
I haven't had a chance to talk to him yet. First, I want to know why you were gunning for him.
Look, friend, you won't like it much here if you stick around. Now get out.
Okay, Mr. Stroud. I may be back, though.
Gee, I don't know if I can wait.
You try gags, too, don't you?
Next time, give me a little notice. You look like such good company, I might want you to meet some of my friends.
Hello?
Zita?
Yes, who is this?
Julia Stroud.
What do you want?
Was there Greg Collins over to see you?
No.
He probably will be. We've got to get together before it happens.
Why?
Don't be stupid, so we can cook up a story.
I don't want to see you, Julius.
That's funny. You never felt that way before.
I do now. You murdered my brother.
Shut up.
You killed Charles.
Listen, I will be over to see you in 20 minutes. If you know what is good for you, you'll be waiting.
Greg, what are you going to see Zita Pierce for? The police have already talked to her.
My hunch, Gail, is that she knows more about this murder than she's let on. Rennie's death was probably an accident. The intended victim was Warren Pierce.
Are the police looking after Pierce?
He's on his way to Chicago to attend a director's meeting. He took the train at 4:30.
How do you know?
Got it from his secretary. And if that's not enough, I talked to the red cap who put him on the train.
This the house?
Yes. Careful now.
Think she'll talk to you alone?
She'd better.
She will. You're the persuasive type.
When my wife's with me, I'm persuasive?
That's why she's with you, chum. There are all kinds of persuasion a man can use on a woman. Maybe we're wasting time. Doesn't seem to be anybody at home.
Okay, then I'll open the door.
With what?
I got keys.
How?
I got ways, too. Locksmiths in the neighborhood. Servants. Here we go.
This is housebreaking, pal.
I'm on police business, my dear girl. I'm trying to solve one murder and stop another one. A man's life is at stake. Here, this does it.
Oh, lovely home. Greg, look.
Where?
End of the foyer. Is that Zita Pierce on the floor?
It is.
What's wrong with her?
It's the late Zita Pierce, Gale. He's dead.
And Greg wasn't kidding. The green-eyed Zita was dead, all right. She had been murdered. But hold it. In just a minute, we'll bring you the climax of the case. Did you call the police?
They're coming over, yes. I want a closer look at Zita. He was obviously beaten to death, Gail. And the killer's weapon smashed that watch he had. See?
It stopped at exactly 4:30.
Well, that's deep, pal. I wish somebody else had found his body.
Why?
We're not impartial witnesses anymore. We're mixed up in it, but good.
Where are you going?
The plow car will be here in a second. Wait out front for them. Tell them what happened. I'm going to see Julius Stroud. And there might never be a better time.
Yes?
Hello, Mr. Stroud. I said I might be back.
And I said I didn't want you back. I threw you out once, so I have to do it again.
I'm coming in. Where were you at 4:30 this afternoon?
Why?
It happens to be the time Zita Pierce was murdered.
Are you kidding?
I don't waste time playing games, Mr. Stroud. Didn't you know she'd been killed? Answer that door first.
Come in.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Warren Pierce.
What are you doing here, Collins? This is most inopportune.
That's a masterpiece of understatement, Pierce. Your secretary told me you're on your way to Chicago. I spoke to a red cat.
Yes, I was on the train, but I got off after a few stops. I suddenly remembered I had unfinished business here.
Could I guess what it was?
Can you?
Sure. You were going to kill Mr. Stroud here.
You're quite right. Tell me, in your expert opinion, would a jury convict me?
You are crazy.
I don't think so, Stroud. Especially when I'm sure Zita will give evidence on my behalf.
Ah, you're wrong. Your wife won't testify.
I know her better, my friend.
Yes, but obviously you haven't seen her lately. She's been murdered.
What? Zita's... Oh, no.
It's true. Sorry, I just came from your home.
You're lying.
Am I? I hardly think so.
Who did it?
I was just going to ask Mr. Stroud about that, but suppose we ask you first.
Why?
Because you're the most obvious suspect. Your wife was playing you for a chump. And a man like you will never take that lying down.
That's a ridiculous assumption. It would never hold water.
Then you shouldn't mind supplying all the evidence for the alibi, should you?
At 4:30 this afternoon, I was in the dining car aboard train 707. Now, if you'll permit...
Wait up! Who are you? Give me that gun, Pierce!
Certainly, Mr. Collins. There you are. Oh, don't waste time examining Julius Stroud. I'm an excellent shot. I shan't fight you at all. As you can see, I handed you my gun. Any jury will agree I had ample justification to kill him.
Surely.
I'll go scot-free.
Maybe. There's just two other items. You also killed your wife and Charles Rennie.
I what?
In those instances, Mr. Pierce, the jury will believe me, not you.
Okay, Greg, start bragging.
I never brag, Gail. Imagine. That's all I did for Warren Pierce. He goes on a maniac murder hunt.
Tell me why he killed Charles Rennie.
Well, that's easy, to frame Julius Stroud. Rennie and Pierce were about the same size. And when he was murdered, it looked like an attempt by Stroud that boomeranged. Only the police couldn't make it stick, so being a man with purpose, Pierce went on to murder number two.
His wife?
His wife. A lovely green-eyed would-be divorcee. Boy, she...
Never mind what she was. Explain the case, you wolf.
Well, the police couldn't help but believe then that Stroud had killed Charles Rennie by accident and then done away with Zita to shut her mouth.
But what put you on the right track?
Pierce pretended the murder of his wife was news to him, yet without ever being told when she died. He was ready with his alibi for the exact time.
Didn't she die at 4:30?
No, of course not. Pierce killed her about 2 and then set the hands of her watch ahead.
Nice going.
Understand it now?
I understand everything but one part of it.
And that was?
Those green eyes of hers. Did they really flip you more than the mine?
Oh, well, I...
Or is your wife just a worn piece of merchandise lying on a shelf somewhere?
Oh, say, that reminds me.
Reminds you of what?
Come here. Closer. Much closer.
that's what I am. Property you take for granted. Why are you looking at the calendar?
The date. Speaking of property, time to take an inventory.
Don't go away. In just a moment, we'll be back with you.
Well, folks, Gail and I hope you enjoyed our adventure, The Green-Eyed Divorcee. Be sure to visit us next time for another Puzzle in Murder. For where there is crime and romance, there you'll find Mr.
and Mrs. Collins.
Welcome back. Well, this is also another one that had been done on the Abbotts, episode 0381, if you want to go and check that out. Now we turn to listener comments and feedback, and received a letter from Penny. And Penny wrote me about an article online, and this is an actual physical letter, I should say, about Casey Crime Photographer, or more specifically, a place called the Blue Note that was started and the name inspired by Casey Crime Photographer. She also included just a lovely variety of stamps on the envelope to, you know, make up the required postage. And I do appreciate the stamps, all really lovely. And she writes, best regards and thanks for the thousand hours of pleasures. I'm 80 years old this year, and the memories are closer than ever. Thanks so much. And she did have one misunderstanding. I wanted to go ahead and clarify in case anybody else had it. She thought that the email was something that only subscribers could use. And that there was some fee to become a subscriber would be able to use the email address. And I did want to go ahead and clarify anybody under that belief that it is free to email the show and there is no requirement, you know, at all to subscribe to email. So did want to clarify that, but I do appreciate the letter and the article about the Blue Note. I actually shared it with the guy who is the foremost expert on Casey Crime Photographer, a really super dedicated fan, and he appreciated having the article as well. So thank you so much for sharing, Penny. Also, I want to thank Jim. Jim went ahead and sent along a picture of the location where Petri wines were made most recently. And even though it's owned by another company, the picture still shows it having the Petri Wine Company painted on there. So that is a really neat picture. Thanks for sending that along, Jim. And for those who don't know, because it's not one of the more recent programs we've been doing, Petri Wine was the sponsor of Sherlock Holmes, the last season with Basil Rathbone and Nigel Bruce, and also of the Casebook of Gregory Hood, that, you know, very first season. And Harry Bartell, who was the spokesman, you know, did a really good job on the ad, so it's one of the more memorable brands. At any rate, thanks so much for sharing and for listening out there, Jim. I appreciate it. And I also want to go ahead and thank our Patreon supporter of the day. I want to go ahead and thank Neil. Neil's been one of our Patreon supporters since September, currently supporting us at the Shamus level of $4 or more per month. Thanks so much for your support, Neil. And that will actually do it for today. Join us back here tomorrow for The Man Called X, and then on Thursday, we'll be bringing you the first episode of Mystery is My Hobby. And then we'll be back next Tuesday with another episode of It's a Crime, Mr. Collins. In the meantime, send your comments to box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.